Hey everyone, hope you are doing good. Hope you're having a good Thursday. So guys, here's what's going on. We got a guy over in this room over here who is cleaning out our ducts.
Well, the dryer vent.
The dryer vent. We just bought a a new dryer. And when we got a new dryer, it stopped working.
I didn't know.
And we called them.
I had no idea about this.
Yeah, this is news to me. But we got a new dryer, and new dryer wasn't working. It wasn't drying. So you were like going through three rounds to get the clothes dry, right? It's like,
three,
this is
four.
A new dryer.
Yeah.
So we called Lowe's and they won't take it back. And
it was...
Anyway, it was an ordeal, but turns out our old dryer worked because there's not a safety thing on it. And so the gist of it is...
So it was not safe.
All the new dryers apparently have some sort of safety shutoff thing that if it's shooting out the exhaust and it's bouncing back at it because the vents are clogged, then the dryer won't heat and it'll just stop and go off and on. Anyway, so all that to say, we found out that our vent is clogged. And the way our house is built and designed, it's very awkward to get to.
Bob was going to do it himself.
And I could for a little bit. I could make it like 6 or 8 feet, but our ductwork runs like 30 feet and then it goes really, really high up in our house. And anyway, it's just very challenging to get to. All that to say, some bird cost us a few hundred dollars because he built your nest in there. Thank you, bird.
Probably 100 times. Well, and yeah. It's like there's been... We've never had our vents cleaned. I found out you're supposed to do that like once a year.
Okay. Adulting. News to me.
So it's a real fun way to spend $200.
Yeah.
$200 to $300.
Anyway. But the original guy told us it was going to be $500, which I don't know. Anyway. Probably a whole lot of you are a whole lot smarter than us, and you've had this done. You do this every year, and you're like...
Probably. They're like looking at us like, oh my, how have you gotten this far in life?
Oh, man.
You learn as you go. But it is interesting, like for us, the last... Like this house, we didn't build this house, but the family before us built it. We moved in, so it's probably less than 10 years old, right?
Yeah.
And in the last 6 months... We've had to replace several appliances.
Boom,
like we're at
boom,
that place
boom,
where it's like,
boom.
Oh my gosh.
They put timers in them. I'm convinced.
I know.
They put timers in them and it's like tick, tick. You can't hear it or see it, but it's like they know.
Yeah, they know.
So Apple got caught doing this, like planned obsolescence. They got in trouble for
it. I'm
not
surprised
at all. I'm sure everybody does it. But anyway, all I'd say, we're talking about something really interesting and exciting today.
And it has nothing to do with what we just talked about.
No, not at all. But I found this guy named Tom Corley. He did this big study of 233 millionaires and really people who became millionaires, not those who were just passed down from their parents or whatever. And so he studied them to find out what did they do that made them millionaires? Like, what are the habits that they have? And what he found out was quite different than what most people believe. And I think it's really fun because I think most people assume, oh, they won the lottery or they were a famous YouTuber or they got an inheritance, they built an iPhone app or whatever, like the thing is. And in fact, it's something that's far simpler that pretty much any of us have the opportunity to do.
Okay.
It's not easy, but it is something any of us have the opportunity to do. And so I want to kind of just lead you down this path a little bit of what this looked like. Because what's so interesting about this is something that I actually found when I was reading the book of Genesis as well. And I love when you find this, these biblical principles that connect with real world current studies showing different things. And so anyway, I'll start you with what he said and then we'll kind of go from there. But basically he said in his findings that 88% of the millionaires he interviewed said that saving in particular was critical to their long-term success, okay?
Which makes sense.
Yeah, but this is where it gets really interesting. He said, and he broke it down by different types of millionaires. And so there were some who were more focused on or achieved it by building a business. There were some that achieved it by being consistent and steady investors, and I think two or three other paths. I don't really know.
Okay.
But he broke them down into these different groups.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he said every saver investor, you know, so the ones who kind of saved and invest in their study consistently saved 20% or more of their net pay every paycheck. And that was it. So for all of those millionaires, that was the key to their success. All the ones that did that just by, you know, something that we preach a lot, you know, just this idea of consistent long-term investing.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's what's so cool. But
well, you're talking about investing, but well, this is even simpler than saying saving.
No. Not okay. At all. You can't save your way to that. He's calling them. He identified them as saving investors.
Okay.
Because that's the thing. Like, in terms of inflation, it's like you're going backwards if you're saving money like that. Like, it's just being eroded away. But yeah, you have to be investing. But here's what where it gets cool. So let's go back to Joseph in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember Joseph? So God told him there's going to be this 7 years of abundance, right? And then it was going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And this is what Joseph got in his dream.
No, it was the king's or Pharaoh's dream.
Well, yeah, you're right.
And then Joseph interpreted
his interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is Genesis 41, chapters 34 to 36. I'm going to read. So God gave him out of this specific savings plan. And then he explained it to Pharaoh. So here's what he said. Joseph said this to Pharaoh. Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years. Have them gather all the food produced in the good years that are just ahead and bring it to Pharaoh's storehouses. Store it away and guard it so there'll be food in the cities. That way there will be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, this famine will destroy the land. Okay. So you catch this here. He said 1/5.
Yeah.
Okay. So 1/5 of all the crops, the same as 20%, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is so cool and so fascinating, you know, because, you know, as we all know, Pharaoh, they listened. Pharaoh and Joseph both listened and heeded this instruction that God gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you know, Egypt was in a position that they were fine when this famine came. Not only that, they were able to help the neighboring cities. And I think
sell to them.
Yeah. And I think there's such a powerful concept here. And I feel like you have
thought. Yes, I know. But my thoughts are going in so many different directions. Like,
this is what Linda calls pinballing.
My brain is a pinball machine. Does anybody else have a brain like that? You've got to. So it's like where my brain just went with that was Joseph was, you know, an Israelite. He was a Jew going into Egypt, as sold into Egypt as a slave.
Not by choice.
Yes, but like how, it's just interesting how God uses Joseph in a land that is not God's land and not God's people.
Mm-hmm.
So much so to the point that the Israelites become slaves to Egypt. This is just my brain going.
Yeah.
Why did it happen like that? I don't know. That's another discussion for another day. But
yeah. Well, I'm just really fascinated by this whole thing, and I think let's just talk a little bit about what this looks like, because I think the reality is, with what's going on right now, we were just talking about grocery prices, and like our grocery budget has just shot up. And
it feels like
it just keeps going up and up. And if you're listening, you probably feel the same way. Like, and so we're all like feeling the pinch of this thing, of this actual inflation, of these price increases. And so then like hearing this 20%, it's like, well, it's just impossible. Like, I'm just going to dismiss that, you know?
Right.
And I would encourage you not to do that. Okay. Not to just dismiss it. But I think that the question is, how can we apply at least some of this wisdom to our own lives?
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact is, there is wisdom in this. It was in the Bible. It was God's instruction that Pharaoh decided to heed God's instruction here. You know what I mean? Which, like, that's the thing. It's like so many of these biblical principles, we have the opportunity to take advantage of them and use them for our benefit. But so do non-believers. Like, they can follow the Lord's principles and see those benefits as well.
Right.
And so anyway, we've like seen so many examples of that.
The law of sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
It just is, that's the law that God set in place. And it doesn't matter who takes advantage of it. It's still going to happen. Because that's how God set the system up.
So anyway,
you think this is another one of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
20%.
And all that to say, if you can't do this now, which I think is probably most of us, like, I can't just start saving 20% tomorrow, Bob. That seems crazy. But start with something, you know, and one of the things we talk about, like the way we finish our book, like we end our book with what we call the 1% challenge, which is where you're increasing your savings and givings by 1% each year. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like that so much is because you don't feel it. No one will ever feel it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, try that. Start there. If that's all you can do, you know, and if you can do more, great, 5-10%, that's awesome. But the point is, you need to start doing something if you want to move in that direction, if you ever want to get there. You're not going to wake up at any point in your life, I promise you, where you're like, oh, it's easy to give 20% more. So I'm going to start saving 20%. It's not going to happen. No, so you have to start with something.
You've also talked about when you get a raise, don't look at this like, oh, great, my standard of living just went up. You can look at it like, I need to purposefully take this and start saving more of it.
Yeah, that's another thing we talked about in the book is this idea of a 50-50 rule with any raise or increase that you get. Where, okay, let's say I get a $1,000 a month raise. Instead of adjusting my standard of living by that, taking half of that and putting it towards something that's more important. So maybe that's giving, maybe that's saving, maybe it's both, combination of. But the point is, that way you're still getting a raise. You're just getting half of it. Mm-hmm. And then you're funneling the rest of that painlessly, effortlessly towards something that's important. In this case, for the sake of this conversation, savings or investing, you know?
Right.
So anyway, that's the first thing, okay, is do that. Second part is make it automatic. Make it automatic. Mm. Make it automatic. If you've heard me talk, you've heard me say this a million times, but this cannot be overstated because if it depends on you to remember each month to move 1% or 5% or 10% of your money into the savings account, like it's not going to happen. It doesn't matter. There are literally three people on the entire earth who can actually consistently do that. Whereas if you make it automatic, set it up with your bank account so it's auto withdraw over your savings account or your investment account or whatever, like that is the answer. That's how you do this, right? It just doesn't matter how disciplined you are. That is the secret, is to make it automatic. And then, like we talk about, I keep using savings and investing interchangeably, but like I mentioned, like it's not, the savings side of it isn't going to do you a whole lot of good. It's like, yes, have some saved aside, like that's good, but ultimately you want to move from addition to multiplication, okay? And so if you have nothing, if you have no emergency for anything, like save, fill that thing up so you have some money in there for emergencies, for these things that could happen.
But like cleaning out your dryer vents.
Sure. But
or
the point
buying
is,
a new appliance.
We want to be moving more of that into multiplication.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because like every dollar you add to save, it's like, all right, we're adding. Here's an extra dollar. Here's an extra dollar. But once we take those dollars so that they can start multiplying on themselves, and we do this by investing, learning how to do that, like this is the secret that those millionaires tapped into. This is how they got there. And I was actually just reading another book really similar to this this morning called Millionaire Next Door. Mm. And this book was written probably 20 years before this study, and it confirmed this exact same thing.
Wow.
He said it was like 98% of these millionaires, and he interviewed, I think, even more than this guy, were investors. And then the other thing he said was the vast majority of them saved at least 15 to 20% of their income.
Wow.
And again, not saved, but saved or invested, did something with, didn't spend 15 to 20% of their income and put it towards things that would grow and multiply.
It's very interesting.
So it's just been proven over and over again, like this is something to shoot for, you know, if you're trying to increase the amount of money that you're managing, you know, and again, I want to always like go over this because I think it's so important. The reason we're talking about this, the reason we're talking about millionaire status, it isn't for the status of it, because if we're just chasing it for that to feel good about ourselves, like that's disappointing. It's not gonna bring you the peace, love, joy, contentment, joy, anything else that
you said, you know, joy twice. It's worth repeating.
Joy, joy, joy. I feel like that's some song I got
down
going
in my heart.
There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. But the point is, you know, and again, if you've been in the community, you know this. It's like our goal is to arm you with more financial resources so you can make a bigger dent in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Again, like we're not trying to be like, you know, that rich guy who's building up his barns and said, all right, I can take it easy the rest of my life. Yeah. I never have to trust God again because I have so much. That's not the goal. The goal is to funnel more money into the kingdom, advance the kingdom, use what God has entrusted to you for his purposes and glory. And so that's why I want to see all of you saving 20%, getting to that point, so that you can be on your path to having that $1 million you can give away or do whatever he's called you to do, start that business or whatever the thing is, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
So that's anyway, good. Well, I'm going to read Genesis 41:56 here. So this is the byproduct of Joseph obeying, okay, which we mentioned a little bit. It said, so with severe famine everywhere, Joseph opened up the storehouses and distributed grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout the land of Egypt. Wow. And people from all around came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe throughout the whole world.
Wow.
So not only, again, did Egypt thrive during the famine, but they were in the position to help the surrounding nations to keep them from starving. Yeah.
Yeah, and what is... Yeah, this is my pinball thing going off again.
Pinball.
But like, what's so interesting about this is because of Joseph's obedience. I mean, I guess this in this case he was a prophet of the Lord.
But he still had to do things because, like, he gave the thing to Pharaoh. Pharaoh sent it back. So, well, how about I just give you the job?
Yeah. Why don't
and
you?
Joseph
can you just
had
do
to
that?
Do it.
Yes. You know? But like the obedience there is what made it happen. And what made it protect them, but then also what was actually a help to the rest of the world, like throughout the world, it says, which is just fascinating that we have the ability to tap into that. And I think, you know, I don't know. It's like disaster preparedness. Like, how far do you go, you know, on that train or whatever?
Yeah, it is hard to find that line.
But because you can get really like really intense and build a bunker and, you know, all the things. But this is actually something straight out of the Bible that feels like it's just a wise thing to do. And it puts you in a position to be a blessing and a help instead of being the one who needs the blessing and who needs the help.
Yeah. And we need more people to be in that position.
And we need more Christians.
Yes, like, that's what I'm saying.
We need more people serving the Lord to be in that position because then you can... Probably, like, Egypt benefited from that, right? So that kind of put them in a little bit of a hierarchy. They made them, you know, top dog or whatever. But also, like, as Christians, we're able to obey the Lord in all of that. And if the Lord says, give this away to that person, we can give it. Or if he says, I want you to charge these people for the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like now all of a sudden we're in control and that we're able to be obedient in that level to what the Lord wants us to be doing when we're not the ones that need the help. We're able to be the help.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I loved it. Like, I mean, it's not just about us. And it's like, yes, the world's crazy. And I think it makes a whole lot of sense to be thinking a little bit like crazy things that could be coming down the pike. Like I tell Linda all the time, like, at post-2020, like, there's nothing that'll surprise me anymore. And, you know.
Unfortunately.
And so if that's the world that we live in, where there's nothing that can surprise us, and there's so many potential things that can go wrong, it's like, I don't want to be, you know, we're not the ones who are going to be, whatever, fear-mongering or anything. But the point is, like, it makes a whole lot of sense to be paying attention to what's going on and doing our best to be in a position to be helpful if the worst does happen.
Because the ones with the lots of money should be the God-fearing believers.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
No, I'd love that.
We have a responsibility. We can't just be like, well, God, you're just going to give it to me if I need it. Well, not if he gives it to you and then you spend it all. You know what I mean? Yep. It's like we can work against him or we can work with him. And I think it's super important to keep that in mind and take the responsibility that we have on the earth, that we can be a little, we can let God bring things to us, but then we can do our best with what he has brought to us and be good stewards of what we have.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bottom line, you know, Egypt thrived during a famine because God gave them a heads up.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't just about them. Mm-hmm. And your financial success, your financial well-being isn't just about you.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's all we have. I need to go check on the dryer vents and see how they're looking.
I can hear them doing something up above our head.
Yeah, so we got to go see how many birds' nests he got out of there. But
I know, I'm really intrigued.
But anyway, thank you for coming to hang out with us today.
Birds come back. They nest in the same spot every spring.
I did. I've seen them try to do that.
I just knew that from this house. I'd never really seen that before this house. Have you?
Now we know. Now we know.
So however, so the bird that nests in your dryer vent, they just push that nest to the side and build another one and just keep going year after year.
It's got six houses in there just stacked on top of each other.
I'm not kidding. I think that's might be what's going on.
Anyway. All right, y'all.
That was beside the point.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Send this to someone who needs it. Be a blessing today.
Yeah.
And we'll see y'all soon.
All right. See ya. Do you want some more Bob and Linda in your life? How about this?
Of course.
How would you like to hang out with us for 6 weeks and your small group or church?
And if you want to do that, just go to seedtime.com/true to find out more details. Or send us a message, DM on Instagram @seedtime, and let's chat.